Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Why don't you go there tonight and stock up for the weekend? It's going to be a big weekend. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. And they roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. The bags are right there at the register. The pickle bar, as always, is second to none. I love the dills and the barrels all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have Chad on board today. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Ryan Getzlaf, big goal to put Anaheim up against the St. Louis Blues.
Petrangelo up ahead on left wing. Berglund couldn't make a play, neither could Perron. Here's Cogliano, one-on-one against Parayko, dropped it back, and it was broken up. Got it back again, a shot, they score! The captain, Ryan Getzlaf.
And that call on KLAA as the Anaheim Ducks get it done last night at the Honda Center. All right. Time now to turn back to football. A little bit of recruiting talk as well from Rivals.com and Blue White Illustrated. We bring in Ryan Snyder. Ryan, you were there yesterday at Pro Day. What are a couple of notes that stuck out to you?
Well, let's see here. I thought Brian Gaia had a pretty solid day, especially on the bench lift. Put up some good numbers.
That was expected.
Yeah. He's always been pretty strong upper body, so yeah. no major surprise there. I think Godwin just showed again, what he's shown on film for a couple of years now, which is, he can make all the catches. He's going to be, obviously he showed at the combine that he's a better athlete than what he looks like on tape sometimes, but for the most part, I feel like a lot of people there were there to see Godwin, and when he ran through his routes, I thought he showed everything that Penn State fans have seen over the years. He's a really solid, complete receiver that, I don't want to say he's a true possession receiver, but, he can put him in multiple spots, X, Y, whatever it may be. And, he's proven that he can go over the middle, make some good catches or run deep or whatever it may be. So, he's who stood out to me the most. I thought Godwin had an impressive day.
Well, I think above all, too, the 4.42 he ran out at Indianapolis then gives you a different scouting dynamic about being a possession receiver. It gives you the idea that maybe he's got some breakaway that you didn't realize he had before.
No argument. Totally agree with all of that. I mean, Penn State fans have known that for a while now. And, I think his showing, against USC really kind of proved to everybody that he's the complete receiver that that we all knew and Nittany Lion fans knew he was. So I'm curious to see how he or where he gets drafted. I really do believe that I would not be totally shocked if it was late first, but it sounds like early second is where he'll likely end up.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think something that's not taken into account unless you're a coach or a scout. His concentration, and it shows up on the 50-50 balls, but his concentration even on mundane plays, he doesn't drop the ball. He does not lose concentration, and he doesn't have those moments where you're like, what happened there? And that's mm-hmm. the part to me that beyond the measurables is something that I think they find really, really important.
Yeah, and I also think he proved on his blocking this year too. I mean, there was multiple plays where he was the key reason that sprung Barkley or Sanders or whoever it may have been. So that's that's always a nice thing to see. And you know, his hands have done all the talking that they need to do. So he's, I'm happy for him because Chris is a great kid. You know, I've known him forever since recruiting. I've known his family. You know, he's always, you know, he's always stood for the right things. And you know, now it looks like that's going to pay off.
I wish he'd get rid of the hoverboard though. That's just me. I wish he. I really. I've told him too a couple of times. Said, yeah, I get rid of that thing. And he, like, he loves it.
Man, there's a lot of guys. I know. Quite a few with them.
Yeah, he loves it. So, and he's never had a problem with it. Just I've never been totally enamored with it. Anybody else yesterday? You mentioned Guy. Anybody else you think either held serve or did well enough?
Well, Sickles improved his numbers. You know, he.
Right.
Garrett was the first to say. You know, he. He got caught up in the moment at the combine, and hey, you know that happens. You know, he what he run like a 4.9 or whatever. He was saying yesterday he's never run that his entire life. You know, so you know he was the first to admit that he kind of got caught up in the numbers. But you know, I apologize. I haven't seen his exact numbers since they were posted. But you know, I know he
better.
Improved.
It was better.
Yeah, I know he improved on almost everything with the L drill and 40 and all of that. So. You know, he's another guy that, you know, has always had his head on straight, cares about the right thing. So, you know, I think these teams know that, you know, I don't see him coming in right away and you know, being a 10-sack kind of guy or anything like that. But, you know, he's a guy that they can take maybe in the middle of the draft and develop over a year or two. And, you know, they know he's going to keep his head on straight and focus on the right things and won't really be a burden off the field. So, you know, I feel like he definitely improved his situation, and you know, we'll see how it impacts him in April.
NCAA wrestling tournament's going on right now. The NCAA basketball tournament's on right now. The women's tournament is getting underway this weekend. And the ice hockey team is probably going to make the NCAA. So back to the back of the pack of all this, obviously, is football recruiting, which normally is in the forefront so often. So where in the process is everything right now?
Yeah, well, spring break just wrapped up. Coaches got a nice little break, a deserved break. You know, they don't get many of them, you know, after the season. So good for them to get away. And now we're already seeing, you know, some players set up some visits. This weekend, Penn State's expected to have two very solid defensive linemen. Tyreek Smith is a really, really good prospect out of Ohio. He has offers from basically just about all the top schools you can name now. And, you know, he's been on campus, I believe, two or three times before. I know he was most recently was for Rose Bowl practice. He came up to watch practice then. So it's good to get him back on campus. He was planning to be here on Tuesday, but as all you know, that was impossible on Tuesday with the snow that we got.
Sure.
So he's rescheduled for this weekend. You know, they're also going to host another defensive end Macon, Georgia. Toby Umara. You know, Toby doesn't have an offer yet, but I actually just got to know him this past week, and I was very, very impressed. He's actually from Pennsylvania originally, I believe. He lives in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. He's bounced around a little bit, but you know, now his family has moved down to Georgia. But you know, he has ties to the area, and he's picked up some quality offers now. You know, he's making the trip up here this weekend, so wouldn't be surprised if an offer comes. You know, we'll have a better idea for that Saturday evening or Sunday. But you know, they've made it very clear that the defensive line is going to be a priority in this class. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if he gets an offer. And Smith, you know, he's had an offer for a while now, but, you know, Ohio State, Michigan, some other top schools are going after him hard. So won't be an easy pool, but it's good to get them back on campus.
One thing that football does have and wrestling has, I mean, those two sports in particular, both have natural recruiting areas where there normally is a bevy of talent that really benefits both of those programs. How solid is Pennsylvania this year, the Pennsylvania, Ohio, Delmarva area, in your opinion? And when do you think is the next time, based on what you're seeing, the next couple, 3 years, that maybe straying outside of there might be needed? Because everything goes everything goes in cycles.
Absolutely. Well, you know, as far as Pennsylvania this year, I think Western PA is not down. You know, Whitfield always has great prospects, but just maybe not as deep as some years. You know, Quantrill Reigns is a top guy that Penn State's really gone after. But, you know, aside from him, you know, they've been focusing a little more on Central and Eastern PA. you know, Penn State already has quite a few guys already committed. You know, Micah Parsons, obviously everybody knows about him. Charlie Catchier, Zach Coons, they're all out of the Harrisburg area. So, and when you look at the 717, it's actually a very good year for the Mid-Penn region. You know, obviously, Ashim Young is a cornerback out of St. Joseph's and outside of Philadelphia. You know, he's an absolute priority. I apologize, I said corner. I meant he's a safety. And safety's another priority for the class this year. Looks like they're going to take at least two, possibly three, depending on where Reigns and Young end up. So, you know, looking forward, you know, I haven't dug too deep on 2019 yet, but I'm beginning to look a little harder. And New Jersey looks to be pretty solid. You know, Maryland, especially in the Washington, D.C. area, you know, they're always going to have 5 to 10 quality guys. You know, I think Penn State had, let me think, it was about 8 to 9 2019 prospects up for Junior Day, which was back at the end of February, and handed out quite a few offers then. There were quite a few solid guys up from D.C. and outside New Jersey. So, you know, looking forward, it's you know, look, this area is always going to be stacked, but one thing that's actually kind of standing out for me right now is, especially after the Rose Bowl, after the Big Ten Championship, is Penn State is continuing to really try and make a push, you know, in Texas and down in Georgia and Florida. You know, they're actually planning to host, they just hosted another prospect, Trent Gordon, out of Texas on, I believe it was Wednesday. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a guy who came up, visited Michigan, visited Ohio State, and you know, he really, from talking to him and his family, they really care about academics. And I think that's going to be huge for Penn State, especially because, you know, the Big Ten schools usually do have a little better standing than some of the schools down south. So, you know, it's not easy to land Texas prospects, but the academics and what they've done, you know, outside, you know, or what they've done on the field, has really kind of started to grab the attention. Like I said, Umar's coming up from Georgia. You know, they already have Justin Fields and Isaiah Humphreys, who's out of Texas. Fields is out of Georgia. So I think, you know, they've always been making a push, you know, down in those states, you know, especially with their ties down at Vanderbilt. But I think guys are really starting to take them a little more serious now outside, you know, because of the Big Ten, because of the Rose Bowl. So that's something I really think we're going to have to follow here over the next year or two. It looks like, you know, some Southern prospects are starting to look at Penn State in the same way that they've always looked at Ohio State and Michigan.
Right, because it always, I mean, look, these things go in cycles. Some years, like, wow, I mean, this state is loaded with, and there's probably 4 or 5 positions. Then there are other years, like, just out of circumstances, not quite as deep, so you've got to expand the pool. That's why I asked the question. Yeah. Thanks so much, Ryan. Appreciate it. What, you know, is your Final Four still intact?
Steve, I didn't do a bracket this year, and I'm actually upset at myself. This is the first year that I haven't done a bracket in like 10 years. But I will say I helped Wifey with her pool, and she hit all but two yesterday. She's rolling with Kansas, Arizona in their final. Okay. I believe UNC is also in there. So we're hoping Wifey pulls it out. She's the guys in fantasy football, so she knows her stuff.
There you go. Follow her instincts. And always remember, everything's yes. All right. Thanks so much. Appreciate it, Ryan.
Take care, Steve. Take care, Jason. See you guys soon.
And that is Ryan Sider, Rivals.com, Blue White Illustrated. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
It's Irish time, so it's Brewers Outlet time in Sunbury. Celebrate with Guinness cans, $35.99, or bottles, $29.95 a case. Killian 24-pack bottles, $17.97. For the ladies, how about a Reds Variety 12-pack, just $9.95. Or Henry's Cherry Cola 12-packs, $8.95. They fresh roast the peanuts daily, and don't forget about the pickle bar. Yeah, the beverage supermarket Brewers Outlet does it again for the holiday weekend. Enjoy Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
All right, so picks in a few minutes. My brother will be online. Talk with him. We keep picking up listeners left and right with him on. Something tells me I'll be the guest and he'll be hosting the show here at some point. All right. Wrestling is doing well. 5 semifinalists. Jason Nolfe, Zane Rutherford, Bo Nickel, Vincenzo Joseph, Mark Hall. Jimmy Gulabon stayed alive in the consolations And should Penn State win the title, Gulabon's performance will end up being a big reason why. Because, you know, they'll crown champions in all likelihood out of this individually. But what's interesting is that the wild card in all of this was Jimmy Gulabon. The wild card came through. That's what it comes down to. The wild card came through. I don't think you could have, I don't think you could have asked much more out of Jimmy Gulabon than what you got this time. And they're on the verge of winning their sixth national title in the last 7 years. Tonight ought to be enough. You would think if they could get realistically three finalists out of this. If they get three finalists tonight, that should be enough to throw them over the top, I think. Penn State men's ice hockey team, they're going to make it to the NCAA championships, it looks like, into the NCAA tournament. Their win last night was so important in knocking off Michigan 4-1 last night at Joe Louis Arena. That was a big win for them last night. Really big win. And that did a lot of good for them. A lot of good. Really kind of righted the ship. They've got Minnesota tonight. They've lost four times in Minnesota this year. But the game, except for one, the games have all been close. So it's not like they're out there and they're facing a team like Minnesota. And now the final was 8-1. Then they lost 6-2. Now they keep losing at a last-second goal. They lose in overtime. It's, you know, they'll play them tonight. And it'll be at Joe Louis Arena this evening. We're trying to keep everybody up to date on what's going on with the NCAA basketball tournament. We can do that for you right now and get you up to date there. Let us start with the games that are currently underway. Louisville leads Jacksonville State 46-33 with about 16 minutes to go in the game there. SMU with a 38-30 lead just starting the second half. North Carolina leads Texas Southern 22-10. 13 to play first half. Michigan beat Oklahoma State 92-91. Baylor won over New Mexico State 91-73. Arkansas beat Seton Hall 77-71. Oregon beat Iona 93-77. So those are the afternoon games. There's one more to be played, and that's Rhode Island and Creighton that gets underway in about 15 minutes. So that keeps everybody up to date on what is going on. Remember, USC beat SMU earlier in the year, and USC fell behind Providence the other night and then went on a great second-half run to win. Now, SMU is a better team than Providence. I think it takes much of a genius to know that. They just are. And when you... I mean, there are a couple of guys that they already had in that team. Moore, I really like. Shake Milton, I really like. I mean, they got a couple of guys that can just flat out play. But USC's coming back now, putting a little game pressure on them, 38-36. You know, it's interesting. I was talking earlier about a couple of big injuries. Oregon, of course, has one, suffering the Pac-12 tournament. Boucher got hurt. Chifkoski got hurt during the season in February for Maryland, and then Springs for Minnesota got hurt on Friday. And it just takes such a toll when something like that happens, because you're talking about depth. Well, okay, you have depth. But I always give everybody, sometimes you have to take an example, draw an analogy. I have a great closer, and I have a great setup guy. Kind of like back in the days in the 90s when the Yankees had John Wetland as the closer and Mariano Rivera was the setup guy. Well, what happens if your great closer gets hurt? Well, it's natural right away to say, boom, great setup guy is not going to be the closer. Now, people will concentrate on, well, does he have the mentality to close, a little tougher mentally closing, blah, blah, blah. That's not the issue. I mean, remotely the issue. If I have a great closer and a great setup guy, and the closer gets hurt, and I have to move the setup guy to the closer, the issue is, who's the setup guy? Boom.
setup guy is good enough to be a closer. I mean, those are pressure innings, too. But now you're going to be putting people out there that don't do this all the time. It's the domino effect. So let's take Minnesota, for example. They lost Springs. Dupree McBrayer gets the start. Not an issue. McBrayer is every bit the shooter Springs is. Here's the problem. Coming off the bench, who replaced McBrayer? No one. Couldn't. They played with six guys yesterday. That's why I knew they were in trouble in that game against Middle Tennessee State. There's a domino effect when something like that happens. It's not who you replace him with. It's who replaces the replacement. That's a big issue. My brother, final half hour brought to you today by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Great to have you with us today. And the Friday show is always brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anyway. Stock up for the big hoops weekend at Brewers Outlet. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar is second to none. Love the barrels. Love the dills. Sports bozo of the day. This is on the plus and minus side. Jason Pierre-Paul signs a four-year deal with the Giants. Plus, Geno Smith now going to back up Eli Manning. Are you kidding me? There are thousands, tens of thousands in the metro area finding religion tonight that Eli Manning doesn't get a hangnail. Geno Smith, really? That's your solution? Really? All right. Before I get my brother in here, let's update the college basketball scoreboard for you. SMU, known to some people in the building as SMU. Now leads it over USC 48-41, less than 14 to go in that one in Tulsa. Other games underway. Louisville now starting to pull away from Jacksonville State 55-38. They're at the under 12 in that one. North Carolina, Texas Southern. North Carolina leads it 30-14, less than 10 to play opening half. Earlier today, Michigan beat Oklahoma State 92-91. Baylor ran away from New Mexico State 91-73. Arkansas beat Seton Hall 77-71. Oregon down Iona 93-77. Getting underway in a few moments. It'll be Creighton against Rhode Island. So there you go. You're up to date. Welcome, brother.
Hello, brother. How's it going?
It's going just fine.
Good. Sure you... I'm 17-3. Along with everybody else.
That's about where everybody is. That's about where everybody is.
Yeah, because there's no upsets. So it's pretty much gone through except for the freaking Big Ten teams, Maryland and Minnesota.
Yeah, I picked both of them to lose. And the reason I picked both. Yes, and I picked both of them to lose for this reason. They both suffered significantly.
You've got a 40-19, and you perfect so far?
No, I've got a loss. Yep.
One loss?
Yep.
Let me guess. Arkansas, Seton Hall.
Yes. Yep, I lost that game. The reason I went against Maryland and Minnesota was injuries. Maryland became a dramatically different team when Cefkoski, their center, got hurt. You're talking about 10, 11 points a game, 7 rebounds a game, and the personality of that team on the floor, especially inside, changed without him. I mean, Bender's okay, Dodge okay. But then for Minnesota, Springs,
who was their starting guard, the grad transfer from Milwaukee, who averaged about 10 a game this year, their best three-point shooter, blew his knee out in Friday's game at the Verizon Center.
Oh, I didn't know that. Because my question is, as an outs, you know, I follow, but obviously not like you, why are they seated so high? You know, if the insiders like you know all this stuff, how did they get started? Okay, Minnesota, it just happened, but Maryland, everyone knew about it. So what?
Right.
And Maryland coach, I thought, was really worried about this game, but nobody ever said that until he lost, you know.
Maryland, I thought, should have been an 8.
I mean, why
played
they
an 8-9 game.
High.
Yeah, now Minnesota did earn being a 5 because, you know, they came down the stretch, they won 9 in a row.
Oh yeah, the kid got hurt the other day.
The kid got hurt on Friday. I mean, that in fact, the Minnesota played the Penn State Michigan State winner. Well, it was Michigan State, obviously. So the kid got hurt during the game. So this just happened. So the ability to adjust, and as I was pointing out earlier, it's not that he gets hurt. Because you can move a guy from the bench to replace him. The problem is, who do you move to replace the replacement?
Right.
McBrayer is a really good player, but who replaces him coming off the bench?
Right.
They don't have that answer. That's why they play with 6.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Suddenly that changes everything. So that's why I went against them. But I'll give you an example where a simple misseeding shows that they're not right. Villanova has to play Wisconsin.
Right.
Gonzaga has to play Northwestern.
Right.
Villanova is the number one seed in the tournament. As the number one seed in the tournament, they should be playing the 32nd team. Right. They should be playing Team 32, the fourth number 8 seed. Instead, they're playing what probably is the number 8 seed behind Michigan in Wisconsin.
Right.
And a team that has 4 seniors on it that has 12 NCAA tournament wins in their careers, which is more than any senior class out there. So now Villanova has to play Wisconsin in a game that's going to feature probably 59 or 60 possessions as opposed to some of these other games where you're seeing like 74, 75 possessions. This is going to be a low possession game.
And have they played each other this year?
They have not. I've seen both of them, obviously, in person. I saw Villanova earlier this year, and I saw Wisconsin, obviously, out of the Kohl Center. But that's where injustice is done in the seedings, where you're thinking too much. It doesn't really, you know, they'd use the pod system to try and keep teams close to where they are. That's like, for example, West Virginia played Bucknell. They played in Buffalo because that's probably the best site for everybody to see the game. So they're doing it for fans. Well, Wisconsin played its game last night against Virginia Tech. That's out of the realm of everything. I mean, that doesn't matter. Northwestern played Vanderbilt in Salt Lake City. So what's the harm in taking Wisconsin and flipping Northwestern?
Nothing.
None.
And that's, you got to beat everybody to win. So, I mean, you got to beat who's in front of you.
You do. And I always go back to what I was at a press conference in 1991 at the Carrier Dome, and Dean Smith, Penn State, was in the tournament that year. In fact, beat UCLA that year in the opening round. And North Carolina was in the regional. And so, you know, you want to take advantage when you have an opportunity to hear somebody who's been around the block and is universally respected speak. So I wanted to make sure I got into Dean Smith's press conference. And someone asked about trying to win 6 games and the enormity of winning 6 straight games in the tournament. And he said, that's not how we do it. He said, this is how we do it. We get into in-season tournaments where you have to win 2 games to win the tournament. For example, Penn State played in that Mohegan Sun tournament back in November. They played Duke and they played Cincinnati. And he said, so what we tell them is, okay, here we are in Syracuse. Let's win the Syracuse tournament. Okay? Don't think about anything else. There are only three teams you need to think of. The team we're playing tonight and the winner of the other game. Those two. That's it. Don't think about anything else. Win this tournament. Then when we're done with that, we're going to go and try and win the Meadowlands tournament. And then when we're done with that and we're successful, then our goal is finally to go out and win the Glendale tournament, which is the national championship. He said that's how he broke it down. He broke it down into two game increments, like it was each one was their own little conference tournament.
Yep.
So
there's really no other way you can do it. You can't look at it and say, well, you know, you got to beat the team in front of you.
Right.
And the deeper you get into the tournament, the better they get. And I mean, you want to get deep in the tournament, and you don't want to have a tough game at the start, but at the same time, you have to win. You have to beat everybody to be the national champion. You got to earn it.
And my theory has always been...
I don't think they really care who they're playing.
Well, my theory has always been for the top eight teams, which are the ones and the twos, the opening round is the only round where you can breathe. Because after that, you know, you're going to face, if a two wins, they're going to face a really good seven in all likelihood. And if a one wins, they're going to face a really good eight. And I mean, now you're down to 32 teams.
In a tournament. The 8-9 games are tough. I mean, those are battle royals all the time.
Yeah, no question. So, Chad, what games do we have here?
Well, that's interesting you say that because Sean didn't give me any to tell you.
Kind of clown show is this?
Well, your name is on it, so.
Well, that's true. I guess that does it. That does explain the clown show is all me.
And I'm not trying to throw Sean under the bus.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Let's just pick some.
Let's hold on a second.
Gonzaga Northwestern. I got Gonzaga.
I'll take Gonzaga.
Just to be different, I'll take Northwestern.
Good. Okay. What
Notre
else?
Dame, Northwestern. That's a war.
Notre Dame. No,
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame's playing who? They're not playing Northwestern.
No, West Virginia.
Oh, West Virginia. I've got Notre Dame in the Elite Eight. I'll tell you, I really like that team.
I'll be darned. I do, too.
I saw them play Villanova at the Prudential Center in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell you right now, I mean, in the end, Josh Hart had 38 points, and Villanova won, had to come from behind to win. But Colson, Vasturia, and Farrell, I'll tell you, Farrell's a heck of a point guard. He is a really good college point guard. I like Notre Dame. I like the makeup of that team.
Okay, let's do, I got Notre Dame also. Let's do Virginia, Florida.
I can't stand how Virginia plays.
Yeah, they play a strange game.
You have to have a style. Tony Bennett's job is not to entertain you. His job is to win games at Virginia. But his style of play turns off casual fans. Like, really? Final score 46-43. Really? I'll go with Florida out of spite.
So I took Virginia. So
okay,
I'm gonna go.
I gotta go with what I got in the bracket. So
I'm gonna go with Florida because I was in Florida more recently than Virginia.
That's really
That's
good.
A good
That's
reason.
Really, that might be right.
That I might got be Virginia. Right. So,
let's pick some games that are already complete. No.
Yeah. there's nothing on the right bracket. Wait a minute. Okay, Iowa State, Purdue.
Iowa State is maybe the best team in the country at small ball. They're a lineup that's 6-7 and under. It's a good win for them over Nevada. But Purdue will be affected. Purdue has mediocre point guard play. Mediocre. But they're really good everywhere else. Swanigan, Edwards, Mathias and Swanigan as the triangle become the difference in this game. I'll pick Purdue.
Chad's got Purdue. Steve, who you got?
I pick Purdue.
Okay, we all got Purdue. Chad, who'd you take in Notre Dame, West Virginia?
Oh, I didn't. Who'd everybody else take? I like to go different.
Me and Steve took Notre Dame.
Then I'll take West Virginia.
Okay.
So we make it interesting.
I never says it.
Huggy Bear.
They're in line with Kentucky for me. Okay.
Well, I mean, Chad heard this story earlier. I got to tell you this story. You'll like this one. Kevin knows, obviously. He knows I worked with Gil Santos for 4 years. And so there was a segment. We'd have Joe Paterno on for 45 minutes at a roundtable. Stan Saverin, George Paterno, John Grant, myself, Gil Santos. But then there were two segments after Joe left. And one was just a general, what do you think of the game? And then we'd come back in the final segment, and we'd make our prediction on the game. Well, we're out in Cincinnati, and John Grant decided to go out in a mobile home to the game with buddies. And they got caught in traffic, and he missed the pregame show. So typical Gil, he says, all right, let's pick the game. He says, and we'll do this two ways. We'll give what we think the final score will be, and then based on John's football knowledge, we'll then pick what he says. I'll go first. Typical. Right. He says, I think Penn State will beat Cincinnati 45-10. And John will say, Cincinnati 38, Penn State 3. And then he looked at me and he says, you're next. I said, okay. I think Penn State will win the game 38-7. And John will say, Cincinnati 37, Penn State 1. And Gil looks over and says, you can't have one in the game. I said, Gil, you said this was based on John's football knowledge. Naturally, when we played it back the next day, John wasn't very happy.
How's he doing, John Grant?
John's doing great. I'll tell you, John's doing great. A lot of those aerial Americas that you see on Smithsonian, John had a lot to do with those. He's doing really, really well. Andy, his son, works with me over at Channel 3. Joan's doing well. They're all doing great.
Good.
All right, Gil's hanging in there. Gil's doing all right. I stay in touch
Who's
with him.
Who's the most famous mother in the NCAA tournament?
Who's the most famous mom in the NCAA tournament? Most famous mom.
Yeah.
Let's see. I guess we know on the dad part, it's like Bill Murray, but let's see. Well, it's famous mom. Lonzo Ball's mother?
I didn't realize partner? Murray. Does Murray's son play for Xavier?
No, he's assistant coach. Just like just like Andy Enfield.
I'm shocked you don't know this. I'm disappointed. So
you're disappointed.
Do you know Chad?
I don't know, no.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Brad Hall's son, Charlie Hall, plays for Northwestern.
Oh, yeah, okay. Charlie never plays, but that's good. Charlie never plays.
Well, still, I mean, she roots the team on whether he plays or not. She goes all the games.
You know, Penn State's number one, well, let's see, Ryan Segrist obviously is one because his father's a graduate of Penn State. Jennifer Aniston's dad's a grad of Penn State. But in basketball, Shep Garner, you know who his cousin is? Flava Flav.
Who?
The rapper Flava Flav.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Last year in Las Vegas, we get on the bus after the Kent State game to go to the airport to take the red eye back. It was Christmas Eve. And there's nothing like being wished Merry Christmas by Flava Flav on the bus. He's got the clock hanging on him, the whole thing. We're like, hey, great.
Cool.
Yeah.
I got another one. Who is a 16 seed has played a number one seed team that has gone on to win the national championship three other times?
I don't understand the question.
They're a 16 seed, and the team they played as the number one seed eventually won the national championship that year, and it happened three times.
Oh. I will say Lehigh.
Mount St. Mary's.
Ah, Mount St. Mary's. The Mounts.
Yeah, that's why people are saying, oh, Villanova. know, this is their year again because they're playing Mount St. Mary's. Yeah. Every time Mount St. Mary's makes a tournament, there are 16 seeds, and whoever they play as a one seed goes on and wins the national championship.
Wow.
So, yeah, I heard that on Mike Jr.'s show. Mike Jr.'s show on ESPN early in the morning. It's really good. Yeah, they do a good job. So, Tiger Woods, do we have time?
Okay, very quick.
Okay, Tiger Woods is at a benefit, and he meets Stevie Wonder, okay? Yeah. And they start the small talk, and Tiger asks, how's your singing career? He goes, good, how's your golf going? Well, I'm having trouble with my swing, but I'm working on it. He says, I've had trouble with my swing too, but I'm getting there. He goes, wow, you golf? He goes, yeah, I golf. He says, how do you know where to hit the ball? He says, I send my caddy down, and he yells, and I hit the ball at him. Tiger says, my God, how do you putt? He goes, well, he gets on his hands and knees and puts his face behind the hole and yells, and I putt towards his voice. He says, wow. He said, what's your handicap? He says, I'm a scratch golfer. He goes, get out of here. He says, yeah, we should golf sometime. And Tiger says, yeah, I'll golf with you. And Stevie says, there's one problem. He says, what's that? I only play for $10,000 a hole. And Tiger says, okay, well, I'm on. When do you want to play? Stevie says, pick a night.
All right. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Oh, hope I win this one. I don't know. We'll see. You should win yours. You're an expert on every team that's in there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's throwing darts like everybody else.
Me and Chatter picking colors.
Guess what?
UCLA blue.
That's probably more successful.
All righty. Thanks, guys.
Damn.